The defenders of Jericho rallied to their post the first day the Hebrews came near to march around the city, but the expected attack did not come. The invaders returned to their camp instead. And when they did that day by day, it must have become a joke in Jericho. Insults were probably shouted from the walls, but the Hebrews could not answer. They continued to march, silently march, in what appeared to be a futile effort. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 30 reads, "By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days." The historical record of that amazing victory is recorded in the 5th and 6th chapters of the book of Joshua. Approximately 40 years passed since Moses led the children of Israel across the Red Sea between the two walls of water and saw the destruction of the Egyptian army. Israel has encamped before Mount Sinai, has received her law from God, built a tabernacle, and organized as a nation. She has gone to Kadesh Barnea, where her faith faltered, and she refused to begin the conquest of the land which God had given her. She was sentenced then to wander 40 years in the wilderness before she could enter Canaan. Those 40 years have now ended. Moses has died. Joshua is in command of the nation. The great problem which faced Joshua and the children of Israel after their crossing the Jordan River into Canaan was the military fortress called Jericho. It was fortified to repulse just such an invasion as the Hebrews intended to attempt. The city of Jericho was built on top of a small hill. About 7 acres of land was included in its walls. Most of the people of the area lived outside the walls, but could hasten there, of course, in times of danger. The city had 2 great walls surrounding it. There was an outer wall separated from an inner wall by a space of a few feet. If the attackers were able to break through the outer wall, they must then break through the inner wall while the defenders were attacking them from above their heads. So the great double walls, plus the military presence in Jericho, made it an impregnable fortress according to the methods of warfare at that time. But Jericho must fall to the Hebrews in order for their conquest of Canaan to succeed. So how could the city be taken? Joshua was pondering that question as he walked on the plain between the camp of Israel and that Jericho fortress. He was suddenly aware of the presence of an armed soldier near him. "Are you for us or for our enemies?" he inquired. "No, but as the captain of the host of the Lord, I'm come," was the surprising reply. Well, Joshua fell on his face, recognizing the soldier to be a messenger of God, and he asked, "What does my Lord say to his servant?" And there God gave instructions through his messenger on how the city of Jericho would be conquered. The conquest of Jericho was not at all as one would imagine, for there were to be no battering rams to knock holes in the walls. There were to be no covered protections for the workers to dig under the walls. The method of warfare required the utmost act of faith. What would they do? They would march around the city 13 times, shout aloud, and trust God to make the walls fall down flat. Now, who could believe that would happen? Well, the people who trusted God believed. And that is why Hebrews 11:30 reads, "By faith the walls of Jericho fell down." You see, the method of the conquest of Jericho was God's plan. It required the people to trust Him for victory. It showed the victory was of the Lord and not by man. It was evidently God's work. The battle for Jericho lasted 7 days, and not a shot was fired, not a blow was struck until the 7th day. The first day, the Hebrews left their camp and marched around the city 1 time. Now, their march was far enough out from the city walls that neither arrow nor spear could reach them, of course, but they marched around the city, then returned to their camp. They did the same thing the 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th, and 6th days. Not a shot was fired for 6 days. What a strange way to take a city. But then the 7th day saw a difference. They marched around the city 7 times instead of the usual 1 time. Now, as they marched, they looked, but they did not speak. They were under Joshua's strict command, "You shall not shout nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you to shout. Then you shall shout." So they marched silently and looked at that great military fortress from all angles until they knew if victory came, it had to be given from the Lord. So they marched, gave up hope in themselves, and looked to the Lord for the overthrow of the city. The defenders of Jericho rallied to their post the first day the Hebrews came near to march around the city, but the expected attack did not come. The invaders returned to their camp instead. And when they did that day by day, it must have become a joke in Jericho. Insults were probably shouted from the walls, but the Hebrews could not answer. They continued to march, silently march, in what appeared to be a futile effort. Why did Israel march around Jericho like that? They marched in obedience to God. They did not understand why. They only knew God had commanded it, and so they marched. You see, their obedience is an indication of their faith. And then God vindicated their faithful obedience. On the seventh day, when they had completed the seventh circle around the city, Joshua cried, "Shout, for the Lord has given you the city." And they shouted. They shouted in faith. And the wall of the city fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. They had trusted God to give the victory. They did not know how he would do it, but they believed he would, and he did. He did it in a way they would never have expected, but he did it. Jericho fell, and the victory was of God. What does this say to you and me? The Jericho in Joshua's day was an impossible situation for him, and it well represents those impossible situations that you and I face once and again today. We have our Jericho, just as Joshua had his. And this teaches us to trust God in all of those difficult and seeming impossible situations. He gave victory then, and he will give victory now. Now, your Jericho may be internal. It might be a passion of the flesh, an ambition of pride, a sense of jealousy, or some other spiritual sin. If it is a thing you cannot master on your own, it becomes to you what Jericho was to Joshua, an impossible situation. Or your Jericho may be external. It may be the people with whom you work, the situation in which you live, the family which is opposed to spiritual things. If it is a condition that you cannot remedy on your own, it becomes to you what Jericho was to Joshua, an impossible situation. Now, what should you and I do with these impossibilities of life? Well, commit them to God in faith. I have seen God answer when people have turned their impossible situations over to Him and trusted Him to provide. I have seen the walls fall flat, as it were, and victory be given into the hands of God's people. That's why the record is placed in the Bible of how Jericho fell. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. What happened then is recorded so that we can know what God will do now for those who trust Him. If it is as safe to trust Him now as it was to trust Him back then, and indeed it is, then we can trust with confidence. For they that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abides forever. O Father, we do trust You. We trust You in good circumstances or bad. We trust You when we feel sufficient to handle our situations and when we feel life's impossibilities surrounding us. We trust You because we love You. We trust You because You've proven Yourself faithful in time past. We trust You with our life, for all of our life, and for what follows after life. And we thank You for the victory that You give us through faith, and in Jesus' name, amen.